Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Hey guys, welcome back to Storytime Slayer podcast and part 2 of the Brittany Woods missing person case along with the Wood family sex ring. I am your hostess, Haley Lira, and don't forget that I have a Facebook, Storytime Slayer. I'd love a like and follow, and an Insta, story_time_slayer. You guys know I'm like almost 30. I may be 30 when this recording gets put out, but that puts me above the Instagram threshold. I'm way more active on Facebook. Well, that was a lot of information to cover in part one, and we have a lot of information to cover in part two of this episode. So I am going to just say, leave me a 5-star review and let's just jump in, right? So the best way I could think to unfold the Brittany Woods missing person case and her family sex ring case is chronologically. If you don't like that, you're more than welcome to tell the story however you want on your own podcast or make a podcast complaining about my podcast. I don't know. After I explain this overlapping timeline of events, arrests, and charges, we'll talk about the family sex abuse court case, the outcome, and where everybody is now. So alarm bells start going off for Chassie on June 2nd after not hearing from Brittany for a couple days and Brittany making no Facebook updates. She starts calling around. No one has seen or heard from Brittany. When Chassie calls Brittany's friend Chelsea, Chelsea explained that Britt never actually planned to come to her house a couple days ago. She instead was picked up by Donnie. Now, with Donnie being dead, Chassie immediately knew something is very wrong and filed a missing person report, then immediately went to work trying to find her. June 4th, Donnie gets taken off life support and he officially died. June 7th, he was cremated. According to Chassie, when her and her brother Scott found out Brittany was at the Styx River property before she went missing, they drove straight there. However, right when they got there to kick in the door and see what they could find, police and CSI arrived with their lights on and everything. They found a bag of Brittany's clothes and kept it for 3 weeks to test for any significant evidence before finding nothing incriminating and returning it to Chassie. Detective Winberg came to the conclusion really quickly that Brittany was likely killed at Styx River and disposed of. He thinks she was likely dumped at a dumpster in the truck stop, you know, the one off of exit 4. According to Chassie, though, she knows that cannot be true. She says every camera and dumpster was looked through. I don't know if I believe that, but I'm sure everyone covered as much ground as they possibly could. And I'm not surprised that Detective Winberg came to another quick conclusion. That seems to be how he does his job. Despite cell phone records being pulled for Donnie and Brittany, from what I've found, Wendy's were never pulled, which I cannot to this day wrap my fucking mind around. That is so crazy. On top of that, a new concrete slab had just been poured not long before Brittany's disappearance at the Styx River property, so it still had a lot of soft mud and dirt surrounding it, but that was never actually checked. Just like a surface area search of the home and property. No digging, nothing like that. They did not find any sign of Brittany. Chassie and a lot of people think Brittany could be under the slab at the Styx River property. But despite the bag of clothes Chassie said they found in the home and her cell phone placing her at the property, police immediately ruled out that Brittany was not at the Styx River property because there was no signs of foul play. On June 8th, the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office, which I'm going to call BCSO, made a statement to the public that Brittany was not in Baldwin County, which is really fast and premature to me, seeing how they had no idea where she was. And even though cell phone towers placed Donnie near Leonard Drive the night Brittany was last seen alive, the property near Chassie's, her sister Mindy's house, it was never searched in regards of Brittany either or her disappearance, which is strange. So this investigation sucks. They ruled a lot of stuff out really quickly with nowhere to really go, especially when you sprinkle in the fact that the investigation into Donnie's sex crimes did not end with his death. It continued until they busted everyone involved. And police said before all this got so messy, Brittany had agreed to talk to them and would have been the perfect person to aid in their investigation. But now she's conveniently missing and Donnie's dead. So it seems they could have pushed a little harder and used the suspicious connections to investigate the sex crimes and disappearance as one. But they didn't, if you get what I'm saying. It's like police assumed Donnie killed Brittany in an attempt to silence her and were fine with not knowing exactly what happened to her or charging anyone with her death. Detective Winberg even said in his interview with Peacock, he now suspects Brittany was killed at Styx River and Mindy's husband, Dustin, probably helped in the murder and cover-up of Brittany. But despite that, he didn't bother to try and prove it years ago when he had the chance. So, while investigating the sex crimes and Brittany Wood's disappearance, June 19th, Scott Wood and Dustin Kent are arrested by BCSO, charged with first-degree sodomy and second-degree rape. This caused an obvious stir in the media, but a lot of people were still fighting really hard to look for Brittany, and there was multiple vigils, organized searches, and even one of them was attended of Class Kids, which is a huge missing children foundation. As of now, Brittany's like front page in the headlines. Then a bigger case began to take over, leaving Brittany's disappearance to be completely overshadowed by the thing that she likely died for. July 13th, 22-year-old Derek Wood, aka Brittany's brother, is arrested and charged by BCSO for second-degree rape and sodomy. Then July 17th, Donnie's son, Donald Jr., who goes by his middle name Paul, is arrested and charged by BCSO for second-degree rape, sex abuse, and incest. In an attempt to keep Brittany relevant amongst all these arrests, the family posted a $1,500 reward for information relating to Brittany's disappearance. Then two really interesting things happen. July 20th, Wendy Holland went by Chassie's house and brought her Brittany's cell phone battery. Wendy said she found it in Donnie's car. The cell phone itself was never recovered, though, just the battery. Then another really big piece of evidence that forever intertwines Donnie's death and Brittany's disappearance was the fact that the gun Donnie had in his possession when he was shot was Brittany's gun. This new information sparked rumors that maybe Brittany killed Donnie and ran away. Brittany's family ruled that out, though, because there was no way Brittany would have left Peyton, which could be debated, I'm sure. This new information made family and friends think Brittany was murdered, but police kept insisting she was likely out there somewhere. Then the pedo sex ring arrests kept growing. July 22nd, William Brownlee, aka Billy, a family friend of the Hollands, is arrested and charged by BCSO for second-degree sex abuse and sodomy. And here's why I think there is obvious poor police work or potential police corruption. Because July 25th, Chassie comes forward to the media and bluntly tells them police have confirmed her daughter was sexually abused by her uncle Donnie. She believes with all her heart that Brittany left to confront her uncle and turn him in, but was killed by Donnie or Wendy to keep her silent. Regardless of everything that's unfolding, police tell the public that the investigation into Brittany Wood's disappearance and the incestual pedophilia ring are in no way related. But Donnie is believed to be the ringleader of this sex ring and a suspect in the disappearance of Brittany Woods. Is that not so ass backwards? How can they not be related, but Donnie is suspect in the disappearance of Brittany Woods and also the ringleader of the sex ring? Okay. Fun fact, pretty much everyone was left out on bond that was arrested, right? They just let them all out on bond. They don't live far from each other. They obviously are like a really fucked up group, but that's fine. August 2nd, Dustin Kent is arrested again, but this time in Mobile County for first degree rape and sodomy. Then August 16th, Derek Scott and Billy go to a court hearing. The sheriff testified Brittany's cousin, who I am referring to as Dee. This was Donnie's daughter. The sheriff testified that she was raped in January of 2011 by those three men, Derek, Scott, and Billy. It's all coming together. So this is all really shocking and really heartbreaking. I believe they all got bonded still, though. I know Derek had to wear an ankle monitor, and so I'm assuming everyone else probably did too. But still, I can't believe they got bonded out. August 22nd, Wendy Holland, that's Donnie's wife, is arrested by BCSO and charged for endangering the welfare of a child in connection to the sex abuse case involving the Holland Wood family. She got bonded out too. However, on October 12th, Derek's bond was revoked, so he ditched his ankle monitor and attempted to elude the authorities, but he ultimately turned himself in a week later, and this time he was held without bond for the remainder of the process. Thank God. November 29th, Wendy begins her trial hearing. but it gets delayed because she is charged with more charges. So at first it was child endangerment, but then she got arrested for sodomy, sex abuse, and sexual torture the day her trial was supposed to start on November 29th. Then things kind of chill for a minute. Friends and family, of course, continue the search efforts to find Brittany. Searches are organized, vigils are held, and the one-year anniversary comes around, but no new breaks in the case. Then, as if shit has not already hit the fan, it hits the fan. Wendy is released on a reduced bond July 27th, 2013, and on that same day, Chessie, Brittany's mom, is arrested by Mobile County for charges of sexual abuse and sodomy. She makes bond. Of course. October 21st, 2013, police hunt down and charge Scott, Wendy, Billy, Dustin, James, and Nelton on more sodomy and sex abuse charges after an underage victim came forward. So they have another underage victim that's willing to speak. The additional charges include production of obscene matter of a person under 17 and sex abuse of a child under 12. On top of his prior charges and these new ones, Scott got a charge of enticing a minor into a dwelling, and it came to light that Scott had actually lured D somewhere so she could easily be raped by those three men. Billy was additionally charged with first-degree rape on top of the other remaining charges, and Mindy got her first charge of second-degree sodomy and sex abuse of a child under 12. October 29th, 2013, Chessie clarifies to media that she believes her daughter Brittany was killed by Donnie over a confrontation involving the sex abuse charges, and she thinks her sister Wendy knows exactly what happened to Brittany but won't say. And it's so heartbreaking because had everyone seen the bigger picture to begin with, I think the public opinion would have been so powerful, the police would have had to link the death of Donnie, Brittany being missing, and the freaking Chomo sex ring is all being connected and somehow would have talked. I don't know. Who am I, though? Who am I? November 1st, 2013, Wendy's BFF, Jennifer Moore, is finally arrested and charged by BCSO for second-degree sexual abuse and production of child pornography. November 14th, Billy, James, Nelton, Dustin, Mindy, and Wendy are all brought into court for their preliminary hearing, and the public finds out that they stand accused of abusing two underage children, a boy and a girl. There's no physical evidence yet, just victims' testimony in this preliminary hearing. 3 days following, a search warrant is executed. Now, some reports mix up Mindy and Wendy's home, so I'm not positive, but either way, one of those houses' electronics were recovered that did hold footage of heinous sexual abuse. Some of that footage did in fact confirm Brittany had been abused by her relatives when she was merely a minor. So November 19th, 2013, for the first time ever, the police made a public statement, finally linking Brittany's disappearance to the ongoing sex ring investigation. Wendy and Mindy actually attempt to get a reduced bond at the same time, which is denied November 25th. Thank God. Thank God we are denying bonds now. May 15th, 2014, Scott, Billy, James, Wendy, Mindy, Dustin, and Chessie are all arraigned for their Mobile County charges. On July 1st, Derek got a closed-door hearing because Derek had been molested by his family from as young as 7. He said his uncle Donnie was a master manipulator and used alcohol, drugs, bribery, money, intimidation, etc. to groom people. Derek does admit that after a decade of abuse, he himself became an abuser. This is a very common thing that happens. So because of the special circumstances, he was granted a youth offender status and his record was sealed. July 31st in Baldwin County, Dustin Kent took a plea deal and pled guilty to second-degree rape and sodomy as part of his deal. The charges in Baldwin County were dropped. August 6th, family friend Billy rejected a plea deal and was given a 20-year sentence to run consecutively. Scott Wood ultimately pled guilty to one count second-degree sodomy, and as part of his plea deal for being the whistleblower and cooperative, his other charges were dropped. So Scott was sentenced up to 15 years for second-degree sodomy. He had to serve a mandatory 3, followed by a 5-year probation, and he will forever be registered as a sex offender. August 6, Donnie Jr., a.k.a. Paul, was also given youthful offender status and his record sealed. likely because he too was a young adult at the time who had been sexually abused from a very young age by the adults he was now abusing children with. August 7th, Dustin Kemp pleads guilty to charges of second-degree rape and sodomy in Mobile County. Dustin Kemp received 17-year sentences in both Baldwin and Mobile County, but they ran concurrently. His wife, Mindy, received a 40-year sentence, 20 years for sodomy and the other 20 years for sexual abuse. The family friend, Nelton, got 10 years, but a split sentencing. So I believe he originally got 5 years in prison, followed by a 5-year probation, but ultimately only had to serve 2 years in actual prison. Now let's talk about Wendy. Everybody else charged in correlation to these sex crimes testified in court about the heinous sexual abuse they participated in. Wendy and Donnie were presented as the ringleaders. Children she had abused testified against them, and it seems the strongest and most talked about testimony was that of Dee. She was 16 at the time. She recalled being abused from the time she was in diapers. In fact, all she really knew was abuse. She said that her abusers would have these sex party circles. So they'd basically sit in a room, kind of in a circular setting, and each of them had a different child that they were abusing, and then they'd simply switch children. Derek said he'd been made to have sex with Wendy since he was a preteen, and it became normal. He'd had sex with her at least 50 times. Dustin testified to actually witnessing Mindy and Wendy having sex with a child victim, and he said he could tell the child had done that many times before because the encounter seemed completely normal to them. That is one of the most heartbreaking things I've heard. A child was so used to being abused that they could carry on in front of a grown man as if it was normal. Dee testified to the rape that she told Brittany about, and it was really heartbreaking. Dee said that she really loved Wendy, and she didn't really want Wendy to get in trouble, so that's why she didn't say anything. All these kids knew was abuse, though. They literally grew up groomed to be abused and turn into abusers. This sick sex abuse thing went on for decades. Older siblings came forward initially and were the voice of their younger siblings. So this abuse took place for at least 3 generations and likely 4, to be honest. A lot of the children that Wendy abused were under the age of 12. The title Monsters in the Shadows for the documentary on Peacock was actually derived from one of Dee's statements. She said she remembered Wendy taking her to the Monsters in the Shadows. Billy was one of those monsters, and she was never fast enough to get away from him. Wendy ultimately got 99 years for sexual torture, 99 years for sodomy in the first degree, 20 years for sex abuse for children less than 12, and 1 year for endangering the health and welfare of a child, totaling 219 years all to run concurrent. Fucking bitch, dude. What a monster. All of them. As for Chassie Wood, she was originally charged with sodomy and child abuse charges, but ultimately pled guilty to a misdemeanor of child endangerment. Chassie Wood has maintained her innocence, but she refuses to discuss the situation in depth. Investigators said they had evidence of her engaging in sex with a minor. Mobile County DA Nikki Patterson, though, said that Chassie's charges were, quote, plea that was done in full cooperation and conjunction and really at the request of the child victim and her family, end quote. So that really makes you wonder, what did Chassie know? Chassie says despite this chaos and these charges, she wasn't a negligent mother. She didn't just leave her children with anybody, but she made the mistake of trusting her family. She said something along the lines of, quote, if you can't trust your family, who can you trust, end quote. And she also said, looking back, her kids would have been safer at a crack house had she known. The lawyers and private investigators Chassie used to help with her defense really maintained Chassie's innocence in all of this. And they say that she even passed a polygraph. However, I've yet to ever see or be able to find the polygraph. And like I said, she won't really talk about the case. There's speculation that the only reason she took the plea and didn't fight it was because she claims, and a lot of people believe, that she knew if she didn't get out there back onto the streets to find her daughter, nobody ever would find Brittany or try to. Some people, though, say, hey, if she didn't do it, she could have fought it. She could have even probably sued the county. So I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what to think about Chassie. Brittany had been abused as a child by her grandma's boyfriend. It happened when Brittany was around 9, and she didn't tell anybody until she was closer to 12. But he was reported and went to prison for those crimes. So I could see Chassie being like, what is wrong with all of you guys? I mean, just because a lot of siblings are messed up doesn't mean that, I guess, all of them are. I don't know. It breaks my heart that sexual abuse was a factor for Brittany's entire life, and she likely died trying to end it. Brittany's baby daddy went on Facebook several years ago and did like a little rant saying he doesn't appreciate Peyton being used by Brittany's family for attention. He doesn't like photos of her face circulating anywhere. And as for Chassie, he said that she's a bona fide liar. He said her and Brittany weren't as close as they portrayed in the documentary. Chassie is actually a drug addict who likes attention. Andy was really hurt by Brittany's disappearance initially. You can see it in his Facebook post when she first disappeared. But, I mean, he said that he's accepted she's gone and not coming back, and he's done his best to move forward. He has custody of Peyton as well as more children with his now wife. It looks like he really got it together, and he does admit he was a shitty person when him and Brittany were together. A relative said it was hard, like really hard for Andy to deal with Brittany's disappearance, and sometimes he'd leave at night and go drive around and look for her. Something that really bothered me was Detective Winberg said they suspected Mindy's husband, Dustin Kent, likely helped in the murder and disappearance of Brittany, but they can't prove it. They also won't say what evidence they have or if it's just another feeling he has. But it's too little too late now. I mean, Detective Winberg should have done his job when he had the chance, and things could have been different. Brittany's mother and stepmother have stayed dedicated to finding Brittany. I will link the Facebook pages below that they have dedicated to their searches. And if you have any information, please call Mobile County Department at 251-208-7211 or Crime Stoppers at 251-208-7000. Share my Facebook post to raise awareness for Brittany's case. The very least her abusers could do, though, is tell people what they did to her and where she is so her family can bring her home. Chassie received multiple letters from different inmates locked up with Wendy and Mindy at different times saying Wendy had confessed to murdering Brittany and Donnie. After murdering Brittany, she told Donnie and he threatened to tell the detectives everything at his 2:30 interview. So she shot him with Brittany's gun to try and frame him for Brittany's murder. Woof! You guys, I told you it's so much information. Like I said, unfortunately, Brittany's body was never recovered, nor any sign of her. Nobody knows where she could be, where her body is. As far as the slab at Styx River, several years after, they used something called ground-penetrating radar to detect if there was a body under the slab. However, the results were inconclusive and they never actually broke ground or tried again with a different expert. The guy that they showed doing the ground penetrating radar, I'm sorry, I don't know him, but he really didn't seem like he was passionate about his job or knew what he was talking about. So I think we need to get another person in there. Dustin and Mindy's trailer property was never searched, like the ground, for if they could have buried Brittany there. There have been several searches done on foot by organizations, the Wood family. Unfortunately, though, like I said, no sign of her has popped up. So definitely, if you know something, say something. This is a really heartbreaking case. I want to leave on a really important note. Children don't get hurt by the boogeyman. The boogeyman's not real. Most children get hurt by people you know. While you're sipping lemonade and hanging out, there's just bad things in this world and you don't know who's capable of them. So, okay, rant over. I feel like Jerry Springer when he did his afterthought at the end of each episode. So, I'm done. Thank you so much for listening and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye.